over virus and infectious disease. And then the 19 reminds us of Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Words of comfort, words of inspiration maybe, but every time I see COVID-19 now, that's what I think of. And our Savior has the power to destroy even this virus. Our world is changing. Politically, a year ago, we pretty knew where things were going to go. But who knows what's going to happen between now and November. And we'll see who the Democrats put up. And Joe may not live long enough to be elected. What do they call him now, Sleepy Joe or Creepy Joe, one or the other? Who knows? My hope is in the Lord. If you would, take your Bibles and let's turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And we'll be looking at verses 9 and 10. About 20 years ago, a little booklet or book came out written by a fellow named Bruce Wilkerson called The Prayer of Jabez. And that's what these two verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 are, the prayer of Jabez. I've got a copy of the book. It's a little book. It can fit into your inside pocket in your suit jacket. It's probably just a little under 100 pages. And it goes through the prayer of Jabez. And one of the problems that we have with that book is that it became, the prayer became almost kind of like Peter Popoff's miracle spring water. If you prayed the prayer of Jabez, you could get whatever you wanted. And people looked at it that way. The book sold millions and millions and millions of copies. And it was very popular in, I think it came out in 2000. And right around that time, people took that prayer and prayed it over and over and over again, hoping to have what this miracle spring water gives you. Have you ever seen the advertisement for the miracle spring water? It is, I don't know whether you sprinkle it on your checkbook or whether you drink it or whatever you do with it, but man, you can open up your mail the next day and there's going to be $50,000 in your mailbox. It's great stuff. That's what they were thinking about back in 2000 when this book came out. If you prayed the prayer of Jabez, then you could have whatever you wanted. And here's what it reads in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. So if you prayed that prayer in 2000 when the book came out, then God would grant you what you requested. And people were asking for Mercedes Benzes and money and houses and all sorts of things. And it turned into a bit of a fiasco. Because 9 times out of 10, or maybe 99 times out of 100, nobody got what they were asking for. Well, I want to take this prayer and apply it not to an individual, but to a church. A church. Maybe Bible Baptist in Fort Mill. The first thing that Jabez mentions in his prayer is, God bless me. God bless me. And he says, God bless me indeed. How do we get God to bless our church? Well, what is the church? It's not the building. We could be a church meeting in the parking lot. A lot of churches have done that in the last few weeks, is to have drive-in church and meet in the parking lot. We can be a church out in the woods like they did in Soviet Russia back in before the wall fell down and before the collapse of communism, and meet out in the woods somewhere, break some trees down, cut some trees down, and sit on the logs and have church out there where they would not be found by the KGB. It can be a church anyway. The church is people. You're the church. And the church is made up of individuals. In order for God to bless individuals and in turn bless the congregation has to walk in a godly way. God blesses us every day. Every day I get up and I put my feet on the floor getting out of bed and they don't collapse and I don't end up laying on the floor is a blessing to me. Every day I get out on the highway and drive up 77 to go to work, God blesses me because I get there without having an accident. By the way, we're talking about speeding. Going up 77 in the morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, the cars are in packs. There may be like 15 or 20 cars together and then a big space and then another 15 or 20 cars up ahead. Pack speed has gone from an average of 72 miles an hour to 83 miles an hour. You get in the pack and you have to go with what the pack goes. Otherwise, if you drop back or you go ahead of the pack, you know, you'll go 95 or 100, that's where any police officers might see you and you would be pulled over for reckless driving. But if you're in the pack, I was in a pack going about 78 miles an hour the other day, and we went right past two state patrolmen. They just kind of waved it off. Speed limit, by the way, on 77 is 60. If you go 60, you end up in the ditch because they'll push you off the road. But somebody was telling me out in California, people are driving 100 miles an hour on those freeways because there's no cars anymore out there except a few. God bless me, he says. If we want to be blessed as a church, then we have to be blessed as individuals. And if we want to be blessed as individuals, we've got to be living a godly life. And what in the world is a godly life? Well, a godly life is one that pleases God. And how do we do that? Well, we kind of sit down and decide, well, I think God would like this. I think God might like this. And so I'm going to do these things. No, he gave us a book that tells us what he wants us to do. And a lot of times we read things in the Bible and we say, boy, you know, that's interesting. Brother so-and-so could really use that. When brother me-and-so ought to be the one who takes it and puts it in my life. God wants us to live godly lives. God wants us to be like Jesus. Another book that came out that was those little bracelets, you know, that what would Jesus do? That's a valid question. What would Jesus do? If Jesus had a choice of going to church on a Sunday morning or going fishing out at the lake, he'd only go out to the lake if he knew that's where the church was. But you see, we like to put things we like ahead of things that God likes. We are too impressed with what people do when we ought to be impressed with what God does. Darlington Raceway today, first NASCAR race in 10 weeks. Those drivers are probably a little rusty, I imagine. I didn't watch it. I wonder, maybe they hit the wall a few more times than they normally would have. I don't know. Lots of spectators, just not there. It's kind of like if a tree in the forest falls, but there's nobody there, does it make a sound? If an engine roars around the track and there's nobody there to watch, does it really make a sound? If you win, does it really matter? I was listening to the news this morning, and they were talking about how people are missing sports. I wonder how many people are missing church. How much more important is it to be in fellowship with your fellow believers than it is to be NASCAR, football, baseball, whatever? They kind of pale when it comes to things that are really important. The next thing Jabez says is enlarge my territory, or enlarge my coast. Make my area bigger. Isn't that what we all want for our church? To reach out to people in our community, in our neighborhoods, places we shop. Nowadays, you can witness for Christ at the cashier at Food Lion because you got a mask on. Nobody knows who you are. Sometimes that's the only way we will witness, if nobody knows who we are. But we've got an opportunity right now. People are fearful. And then we've got the answer to taking that fear away from them. My youngest son's mother-in-law is so scared of this virus that she's in a state of hysteria most of the time. Like I said, we're people of faith, not people of fear. Perfect love, which is God's love, casteth out fear, says in 1 John. Enlarge our territory. Wouldn't it be great if Bible Baptist Church in Fort Mill had to go to 2 Sunday morning services because there wasn't enough room in the auditorium to pack everybody in? Wouldn't it be great if people in your neighborhood that get up on Sunday morning now and cut the grass got up on Sunday morning and came to Bible Baptist Church? Wouldn't it be great if they came to Christ and knew him as their personal Savior and had a home guaranteed in heaven where there's no viruses? Wouldn't that be great? Isn't that more important than most anything else in this world? And yet, lots of times even the members of a church don't show up for a church service. Do we care about the lost? Or do we just look at them and say, well, you know, that poor guy doesn't know Jesus. He's cutting his grass on Sunday morning. Maybe we even might throw in, I hope the blade and the mower gets him. But you know, God wants us to be compassionate toward those that are lost in order that we might win them to our Savior. Increase our territory. Make our outreach bigger. I think it's wonderful that we're on video and can watch from home. It's great for people who are sick, people who are shut-ins, people who, even in nursing homes, can even gather together in a dining room or something and have a on YouTube or something, and people can see the services. I'm looking forward to when we get that new camera, how, you know, it's going to be even better now. I wish it was on some other platform than Facebook. I'm not a fan of Facebook or Mark Zuckerberg. I know he probably doesn't get any moolah out of what we put on our on there on YouTube or in Facebook. But, you know, it'd be nice if we could do it through our own website and guarantee that when the speaker gets to 11:25 on Sunday morning, it doesn't start crackling up. But, you know, it's great. It's an outreach. And when you said this, we had 183 watching on the live stream, 183 for in here on a good Sunday morning is a good number. And then we had, 80 besides. So God is good. Technology can be used for good. Can also be used for evil. But if we're using it for good and God blesses, that's a wonderful thing. Then he prays for God's hand to be upon him. For God's hand to be upon him. Individually, we know that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, His hand is upon us. And I think what Jabez is getting at here is, don't remove your hand from me. You know, in the Old Testament, when the Spirit of God came upon someone, it came on temporarily. It came on for a season. When the Spirit came upon Saul and he prophesied, but then when Saul sinned, the Spirit was removed from him and an evil spirit from God came upon him. But in our day, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, God's hand is upon us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us from the moment we receive Christ. So we would pray in our day, don't take your hand off of me. Don't remove your spirit from me. And from our church, we need God's hand on this church. We need God's hand leading us. We have a pastor that leads us. But if God's hand is not on our pastor, and God's not leading our pastor, then we could end up being led the wrong way. We need to pray that God does not remove His hand of guidance, His hand of leadership from this church. I'm glad we're meeting together today. I've talked with other people. I have my boss is a member at Bible Baptist Church in Matthews. And they had a 2-hour telephone conference call last week and decided that they would wait until May 31st to go back to meeting. And then, of course, they would be doing the every other pew or every other set of chairs or whatever. And doing the, of course, the social distancing. We got new words out of this thing, didn't we? Social distancing. What in the world? Shelter at home or shelter in place, isn't it? Sue works from home. She's got a whole setup down in our sunroom with the, you know, two monitors and her computer and all her files from her office and everything. She's probably going to be doing that for another month or two, working from home. What I do at Billy Graham, I can't do at home, so I got on my hands and knees and pled with him to let me come into the office so I get paid, and it's worked out pretty well. I think I'm about 10 hours short so far this year, so it's not too bad. God's been good. But God loves us. God wants to keep His hand upon us, and God will bless us and keep His hand upon us if we live godly lives. Jerry Falwell years ago had a little lapel pin that said, Jesus first. And I agree with that, Jesus first. But Jesus needs to be central in your life, not just first. If Jesus is first and music concerts is second, and those music concerts don't honor and glorify the Lord, then He may be first in name, but not first in reality. He needs to be central in our lives. Everything we do needs to revolve around Jesus Christ. And if it doesn't make sense being what we're doing in conjunction with Jesus, then maybe we need to change what we're doing. Change is not bad, especially if it's change for the better. We've got a good group of young people in this church. We need to be praying for them every day that God would lead them in the proper way. I'm a big fan of Christian education, and I'm not ashamed to say that. I have a grandson who is going in the fall to North Georgia State University. I wish he was going to Pensacola. I wish he was going to Bob Jones. I wish he was even, I'd even settle for Liberty. But he's going to a state school. Much prayer for him. They're hotbeds of Marxism. The last one, he says, keep me from harm. God's protection. We have devotions at home every morning, and prayer goes up for our church family, for our own personal family, extended family, our work families, for protection from COVID-19, for protection from that which would bring harm to any of our people. And I go from there to devotions at work, and we have prayer time every morning, word from the Bible, and we pray for the protection of our work family over there, and again, for our personal families. We need God's protection. We live in a world where it's dangerous. It's dangerous. God is the great protector. When you're protected by God, you're protected by the one who can protect from everything. This little prayer, actually the prayer is only verse 10. Verse 9 is a little introductory to who Jabez sort of is. We don't know much about this guy Jabez. But God granted his request and gave him what he asked for. If we pray to our Heavenly Father through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and pray that God would bless this church, enlarge the territory of this church, put God's hand upon it and keep it upon it, and protect us from that which is out there, we can do great things for God. But in order to do great things for God, we've got to be great people for God. We've got to be His people. We've got to honor Him in all that we do and lift up His name before men in order that salvation might come, God might bless. God bless each one of us as we seek to honor our Savior. And someday He's coming back. Someday the clouds will split open and we'll see Him as we rise to meet Him in the air. What a day that's going to be. But until then, we're told to occupy until He comes. Are you occupying or are you just existing? Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we do thank You this morning, this evening. We thank You, Lord, for the blessings that You bestow upon us, Lord. The general blessings of life and health. And Lord, we ask that You would help us to be the kind of people that, Lord, You can bless and bless greatly. That in order for us to be able to do the work of the church and do the work of You've set before us, we've got to be the people that You want us to be. Help us, Lord, we pray, to do what we should. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.